Welcome to the Door of Life Church Podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
It's 1 8/10 miles from my bed to this pulpit. Yep. And I left my Bible at home, so I had to go back and get it. That's not far. Sitting here and looking out these windows and thinking about the God of creation. Very special. And then to look at the cross. Marvelous cross. Terrible cross. More than likely, the cross on which Jesus was crucified was larger than this one. Just imagine. In 1 Corinthians 15, there are these words, verse 3 and 4. Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." I take the basis of this message from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel writers. And I've put together my own version of Calvary. I look at it through the eyes of five different men. I would encourage you on this week before Easter to read the last two or three chapters, beginning with the story of the crucifixion there in each of the Gospels. Just read them. And maybe you want to write a little bit of a note about what and how many times Jesus had something bad done to him. It is good, oftentimes on Good Friday, between the hours of 12 and 3, I like to read at least one of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of those stories, to just remember what Jesus did. And so, my name is Judas. It's Friday morning. I cannot believe what is happening. The soldiers have a rope around Jesus' neck and one around his wrists, and they're leading him down the road, and he looks just terrible. He's been beaten, he's bloodied, and he's bruised. You see, I've been with him for two or three years. I know all the roads and side roads and the places that he liked to go to and to be at. And I've heard him teach and preach. I was the treasurer of the group. I like money. In fact, I took some of that money for myself. Yesterday afternoon, I went to the religious leaders and I said, I hear you want Jesus. And you don't want many people around when you kind of capture him. I know where he likes to go. And I know where he is going to be tonight. How much would it be worth to you for me to tell you where he is? 30 pieces of silver? A deal. It was during the celebration dinner last night, called the Passover Feast. And Jesus became very serious. And then he said, one of you is going to betray me tonight. And after a moment of silence, there was some murmuring going on and amongst us, 12 of us. And they were saying, I wonder if who in the world could it be? I go up to Jesus and I say to him, am I the one to betray you? And Jesus said as much to me, quit playing games with me, Judas. And I leave the room and go out into the streets. I find the soldiers, policemen, and some men who are just always on the streets. And I said, we're going to capture Jesus tonight. Follow me. You will know which one it is, because I will go and kiss the man, and he's the one you want. And so we go to the garden. And in the flickering torches, I walk up to Jesus. And he says to me, get it over with. And I give him a kiss. I never thought it was going to turn out like this. I thought he'd do something before now that this wouldn't have happened. I'm going back to those leaders. Men, I've sinned. I have betrayed an innocent man. And you're saying, what is that to us? That's your problem. I said, you can have your money back. And I throw it on the floor and I run out. And I'm walking down the road. And I'm saying, I never thought it would turn out like this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. I think I'll take my life. And I do. My name is Pilate. I've been assigned by Rome to take care of this place. I'm cruel, mean, ruthless. I'm going up the ladder of success. I want a bigger country than this to govern. I hear something outside my palace. Large group of people. They're crying out. I see this one down front. The soldiers and leaders have led him here. Rope around his neck and wrists. and they're screaming out, "Well, what charges are you bringing against this man?" Oh, you want me to do something to him that you can't do yourself because it's against the law, but I can get it done. What would you like done to him? Crucify him! Come in, Jesus. Who are you? I'm a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. And I stand for truth. Oh, I'm sure glad when you started off by saying you're a king that you were going to take over this country. And I was worried for a little minute, but when you say it's not of this world, okay. But you say you are of truth. What in the world is wrong with you? They're out to get you. And you're talking about truth at a time like this? I've heard along the way that you had something to do with Galilee, so I hear Herod's in town. I'll send you to him. He can take care of you. I do. And it isn't long until you're already back, Jesus. And the message is that he can't find anything wrong with you. You don't deserve death. What am I going to do? Oh, I am allowed to release one person a year, one criminal, one prisoner a year. I will choose Barabbas. Yeah. The meanest man, insurrection, murderer, killer. There isn't anybody in their right mind who would say, release him. So, I'd put, yes, guard, what do you want? A note from my wife? Bring it here. Have nothing to do with this man. I have suffered much in a nightmare last night over him. I put Jesus and Barabbas side by side, and I say, which one of these men, Barabbas the killer, or Jesus the King of Truth, which one do you want released? Barabbas? Barabbas, you say? I can't believe it. I can do one more thing. I will have him flogged, whipped. That I will do. And that whipping is so bad that they will have 39 lashes across his back with a whip that has a number of ends to it, each embedded with lead. Flog him. And when you see him, you can't believe it. While they were flogging, after they put a crown of thorns on his head and gave him a robe to wear as a king, so bad that I think when I show him to the crowd, they will say, he's had enough, let him go free. Behold the man. Crucify him, kill him, put him on the cross. Guard, bring me a basin of water. I wash my hands of this whole affair. I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. Take him away. My name is Simon. I'm from North Africa. I live all year to get to Jerusalem to be at this feast day. Many, many Jews love to be in Jerusalem on this particular celebration. It's Friday morning, and you don't know how glad I am to be here. There's some commotion down the street, coming around the corner. Some soldiers and a man carrying a cross. And does he look terrible? And he's so weak, he's not going to make it. He's stumbling. Yes, what do you want? Me to carry the cross? I don't have a choice. They put it on my back. And I walk along carrying his cross. And he's stumbling alongside me. And some women are walking alongside him and they're crying, and he says, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves. We go up a hill and we're at the place of crucifixion, and there are two others besides Jesus. You see, he's got a sign above the top of the cross there. Jesus, the King of the Jews. And they put the crosses down, and these two men who are going to be crucified, they fight the soldiers. They're not going to open their hands. But Jesus was different. He lay down on the cross, and he put out his hands. And they nailed him there. I am the thief on the cross, a criminal, if you please. I'm here. The King of the Jews is here. And my partner in crime is over there. And everybody's laughing and making fun of Jesus and mocking him, and my friend and I do the same thing. We just caught up with the crowd. Some of them are saying, you said, well, just come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Oh, yes, we will. And then I hear these words. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I tell my friend, be quiet. You and I are getting what we deserve, but this man doesn't get what he deserves. Something's coming over me. I see the words, the King of the Jews, and I see this man on the cross who seems like he's in such control. I'm just going to say it. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. Oh, what did you say? Today I will be with you in paradise. The day I'm dying, I'm going to be with you. I can't believe it. I'm sure there were people 100 feet away that didn't hear what was going on. And when they got home, they said, two criminals and a man called Jesus were crucified today. What they didn't know was the last conversation I had with that man on the cross. And it changed my life and gave me hope. The day I die, I will be with him in paradise. I'm the centurion. I got 100 men under me. I don't have them all here today. Don't need to have them all here today. I've been to many of these crucifixions. But this one is different. I wonder if I made a mistake. When he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he made a promise, today you'll be with me in paradise, that man is different. Making a promise like that. And then he sees that woman at the foot of the cross. His mother, Mary. Go home with my friend John. John, take my mother home with you. Such tenderness. And then those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he said, I'm thirsty. And my men wet his lips. And then he cried out again. It is finished. I don't know what that means. But I heard the words. And then he said, my Father, into your hands I give my spirit. I hear that it's a little Jewish boy's nighttime prayer, but I heard him say it, and he died. And it's so dark, I can hardly see my hands in front of my face, and the ground is shaking. Like a little earthquake. Surely, this was the Son of God, a righteous, innocent man. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a hope. Ours for the taking. Let us pause and just meditate for a moment in quietness. Because in a way, we were at Calvary too. God so loved the world. If you are not sure about that in your life, you can trust the words of Scripture and then go to see your pastor and talk to him about it. But most of all, we are grateful today for Jesus who gave himself that we may have everlasting life. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise God. Well, that is good news. That is the gospel. That is the love of God. And thank you, Pastor Delmer, for ministering that. You know, as we come upon the Easter season, there are things we do to prepare our hearts. And really what Pastor Delmer ministered to us for just... I'm going to go ahead and switch over to a different... Turn this one off. Yellow. All right. Praise God. So, you know, preparing our hearts, like we said, on the other side of that cross, we turn that around once a year. It's bloody, it's red, because it is so important for each of us to remind ourselves of the price that was paid. This isn't theory, this actually happened. The Word became flesh, became a human being just like me and you. And you know, we read that scripture a lot, that we have this great high priest who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's able to sympathize with us, tempted in every point, yet without sin. And this morning, it really drives home the humanity and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for each one of us. And let your hearts receive that. Receive that love. There's a scripture that says, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. That's what he did. He did it for me. He did it for you, for everything we ever did wrong. And this season, I feel like it's important, even this morning earlier, just to remember that it was love that motivated God to do what he did. He loves you. Believe that love. You know, and that's really what it comes down to, believing the love that God has for you. There's nobody he went to that cross for more than he did for you, your sin, his love for you. And as we prepare our hearts this Easter season, as we've heard that beautiful reenactment of the events leading up to the crucifixion and the crucifixion, wow, what a wonderful power. I Delmer said it so well. In a way, we were there 2,000 years ago, and that's exactly right. That's when our sin was laid upon him. And so this morning we remember the fact that God loves us. And you know what? It's a choice. It's absolutely a choice. It's not just an emotional inspiration that he loves me. I believe he loves me. I believe this happened. And if you've never made that decision, if you've never made that decision to choose to believe that he loves you, that he died for you, then this is going to be a great opportunity this morning to do that. Let's go before our Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we remember what you have done for us. We remember that you became one of us. The Word became flesh. That you were tempted in every point as we are. There's nothing that we're going through in this human condition that you didn't go through too. And at the end of your ministry, when the time had come, you willingly laid down your life. No one could take it from you. They tried. You just kept passing through the midst of them. But then came the time when you laid it down. You gave Judas the go-ahead. You gave the soldiers the go-ahead. And you laid it down for us. Help us to see, Lord, that you did this for us this morning. Help our hearts to grasp the price that was paid for us on that cross, that it was a real price. Real blood was shed. A real love that took you there. We are so thankful this morning. Praise God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. You sent him for me. For all of my sin. I believe that love. And I receive that grace. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I will follow you all the days of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed,